Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of March, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll preview the presidential trip to Cuba, that island nation that's just 100 miles to the south of Florida. That with Nyla Boodoo, who is the brand new host of the 21st program that's on WILL AM 580, but we'll be covering agriculture on Monday. And Cuba, she's got an interesting background as it relates both to economics in Cuba. And then Sherry Bustos will be here. She's the congresswoman that represents Illinois' 17th district that stretches from Peoria to the Quad Cities, and she'll be headed to Cuba on Sunday. And we'll do all of that right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hear the way the numbers finished up for Friday afternoon. May contract at $3.67 in the corn pit was down a penny and a half. July down 1 1/4 at 3.71 3/4. In December, corn at 3.85 1/2, a penny and 3/4 lower. March corn of next year down 2 cents at $3.94. May soybeans a quarter lower at $8.97 1/2. July at 9.04 1/4 up 1/4. September at 9.06 1/4 unchanged. And November beans at 9.09 3/4 up 1/2. January up 1/2 as well. At $9.14 on their settlement price. Bean meal at $2.66.60 down 40. Bean oil $33.42 a penny higher. Wheat futures May contract $4.63 up 1/2 for the soft red. July at $4.70 1/4, 1/4 higher. And July hard red at $4.80 down a penny and 1/4. Live cattle futures in Chicago April contract down $1.80 at this hour. $139.35 June at $128.67 1/2. $2.50 lower. March feeders at $163.37 1/2 are down 35 cents. In the April at $161.20 down $3.97 1/2. Lean hogs for the day at $71.37 1/2 up 7 1/2 cents. The May futures for 100 pounds at $79.77 1/2 up 20 cents. Don't forget to stay with us for the hour this afternoon if you can. The Closing Market Report is followed on many of these radio stations by Commodity Week. Our panelists include not only Mike Zuzulo today on that program, but also Merrill Crowley and Kurt Kimmel. This is Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Checking in on the outside markets, crude oil trading at $39.44 a barrel, down 76 cents for the day. It's been to a high of $41.20. Ethanol futures at $1.42 1/2 are down a penny and 9 tenths. The wholesale price of gasoline, or the RBOB, is 0.7 cents lower at $1.43 even. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.24 1/10 cents per gallon is down a penny and 2 tenths. And natural gas for the day at $1.89 1/2 is 4 cents lower. That's actually the M&I natural gas. Regular natural gas at $1.88 7/10 is down 4 9/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,536 is up 50 points. The U.S. dollar 0.294 higher for the afternoon at 95.095. And the gold futures on the day at $1,254.50 are down $10.50. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly cloudy and a high of 51 throughout the afternoon. Tonight, a chance of rain, some snow after 1 a.m. Cloudy for a Friday evening, a low of 34 tonight on a northeast wind at 3 to 5. Chance of rainfall set at 30%. Saturday, a chance of rain, some snow before 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then rain. Some thunder is also possible. Cloudy. A high of 46, north winds at 3 to 7, a 40% chance of rainfall in the area. Saturday night, that chance of rain continues, maybe some snow showers, cloudy to low of 30, and we'll have a 7 to 9 mile an hour wind. Sunday, partly sunny and a high of 44 degrees. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's the 18th day of March. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We'll talk with Mike Zuzlow in just about 10 minutes. He's on his way into the great state of Illinois for tomorrow's Chicago Farmers Farmland Forum event. You can catch up with us in Joliet tomorrow at the Joliet Junior College Weitendorf facility. That's across from the Chicago Speedway for one of our Will Ag panels. All the details are online at willag.org. Just know for the moment that Mike's on his way into the state. We need to wait about 10 minutes for him to get out of a dead zone. So we're going to jump forward in the show and talk just a little bit about Cuba. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Nyla Boodoo now joins us. She hosts a brand new talk show on our home radio station that you can listen to at will.illinois.edu anytime you'd like. And you can find it online. It's called The 21st. And on Monday, Nyla, you're going to be talking about agriculture. So that's why you're here. The Cuba trip that President Obama is set to leave on Sunday is something you're going to take up in more depth on Monday. Tell me about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Todd. It's obviously an important economic story for Illinois, the agricultural market and getting into Cuba. And certainly we can see that in a reflection of the congressional delegation that's accompanying the president. Senators Durbin, Representative Schakowsky and Bustos, along with the president, are going to be part of this big delegation. And we've already seen a couple trips already by Illinois lawmakers trying to get the agricultural market into Cuba. Lots of American businesses, not just agriculture, hospitality, other food companies, Caterpillar, all trying to really get into the Cuban market. And it's a great opportunity. And so we're going to be talking about that on Monday on the show, speaking with not just hopefully soybean farmers and a couple different associations, maybe getting the corn element in there also, but then looking at big companies like CAT and opportunities that they want to see in Cuba as well.
So for producers, farmers across the United States, they will be familiar with Cuban trade. Agriculture has opened up that market since 2000. And so there are about 16 years of time where we really have been trading some limited agricultural goods, medical needs as well. Those are the only two exemptions. How do you think trade normalization will change over the coming year or so? And maybe you can tell me a little bit about your background, because this is going to be important for people to understand when you're asking questions, because you really have some expertise
in this area. It is an interesting background. So I'm originally from Miami. My family is from the Caribbean. They're actually from Trinidad, but I covered a lot of business in agriculture, and I actually have a master's in Latin American and Caribbean studies, and my focus was on trade. And my background before I was hosting was as a business reporter, and I did pretty heavy market reporting with Reuters for years. So I've actually covered commodities and other markets for a long time before I went into hosting and doing general news. So that's my background as a business reporter. Being a reporter in Miami and being a business reporter in Miami, you learn a lot and do a lot of reporting about Cuba. And it's fascinating to me to see this side of the country because the political element here is removed. Everyone's looking at the business opportunities. In South Florida, I grew up among a very vocal Cuban exile community that has been very politically responsible for the embargo that's still in place. And you have most of the country, you have most lawmakers who are pushing for that embargo to be lifted, which again can only happen with congressional approval. So that's a key thing for everybody to remember. That is something that has to have congressional approval. Your folks who are paying attention to this will know that this week on Tuesday, President Obama, ahead of his visit, announced further easings of restrictions. Again, that's all individual. There's some banking regulations involved in there but for the business to business to really open up, we really do need to see the embargo lifted. I think that President Obama has managed to achieve more in the past 2 years than certainly any other president has done. I think it will be fascinating to hear his address on Tuesday to the Cuban people. Again, a historic occasion. And if you look at where the president, he's been very careful. I was reading the White House briefing last night about the stops that he's making. They're very clear stops that are designed to, I think, solve solve the or work towards solving the political side of this equation. He's meeting with the Catholic Church. He's going to a baseball game. He's really doing an emphasis on the cultural ties that we have shared with Cuba for many years. And I, as I was researching our segment for Monday, I was looking at Illinois ag exports to Cuba in the 50s and looking at numbers of what that would have been. I think it was something like in today's dollars, like $500 to $600 million. So when we look at that historic relationship, there really is something there. And it'll be really interesting to see this political side of the equation being solved. And I do think there is actual movement. You know, we have representation. We have an opening that we have not had before. And so I think there's certainly new life to the conversation about the embargo being lifted.
Nyla Boodoo is the host of the 21st show. It airs on WILL AM 580. That's our home radio station. You can listen to it live anywhere you happen to be by going online and hitting will.illinois.edu. It's at 11 o'clock on Mondays.
And I'd love to have the ag community tune into Monday's conversation, definitely every day, but especially on Monday, because I really want to hear from farmers across the state about how important this issue is to them.
And is there a home site for your show?
Yes, it's 21stshow.org.
All right. Thanks, Nyla.
Thanks, Todd.
Well, Monday's all good and well, but let's talk more about this trip to Cuba. Sherry Bustos is with us. She's a congresswoman from the 17th District here in the state of Illinois, represents places from Peoria all the way to the Quad Cities, a Caterpillar, John Deere, lots of farm production in her area. She's been to Cuba once, I believe. Is that right, Congresswoman? Last fall, you made a trip?
Yes. I went on a bipartisan agricultural trade mission with Congressman Rodney Davis. As soon as I heard the announcement from President Obama that he wanted to take a look at improving our relations with Cuba, our travel, and our trade, my mind went to agriculture and our growers and our producers. And so it was not long after he announced that, I said, I want to go to Cuba, and I want to start laying the foundation where our family farmers can benefit from improved trade. So we went last October and came home. I immediately signed on to some legislation that would give the Cubans access to credit so they can buy our beans and our corn and our hogs and our cattle. And also our John Deere tractors and our Caterpillar earth moving equipment for that matter. So signed off on that right away. We are working on bringing a group of Cuban agricultural experts, policymakers, and producers and growers from Cuba to come to our district. And the third takeaway for me was I want very much for us to open an Illinois-Cuba working group office in Havana, Cuba, to have an ongoing presence in Cuba to help with our relationships and our increased exports.
So to clarify, since 2000, we have been able to export raw agricultural commodities to Cuba, and those exports have come in part from the great state of Illinois. We've also been able to export medical supplies. The legislation you worked on would have to be opened up by Congress as a whole, if I remember correctly, even things that are working now in Congress to make sure that things like John Deere tractors and Caterpillar tractors might be able to make it into Cuba. What do you hope that you'll help accomplish this coming week in Cuba, starting Sunday when you make the second trip to that nation?
Well, I really see this as chapter two, with chapter one being our trip in October. But I want to continue to have a discussion, a dialogue about what Illinois can mean to Cuba. You know, we are great producers and growers in our state. We're among the best in the world. I would argue that we have some of the best farmland in the world. And so I want to make sure that instead of seeing our exports in corn and soy go down, which is exactly what's been happening over the last 10-ish years, I want to see it increased. There's a $2 billion ag export possibility. And what's happening is you have places like Brazil and Argentina replacing the United States. And so I want to see that move in the other direction. So my goal here is to continue that dialogue, make sure that we can benefit in our state, grow our ag economy even greater than it is right now.
This would need to be a bipartisan push out of Congress. Do you think that the trip that the president is making and that you'll be on will be helpful in that process? And can Congress move prior to the elections?
Well, it's everything I do, any bill I introduce in Congress, I always start out with the premise that I am not going to be successful legislatively unless I have an ability to reach across the aisle and work with my Republican colleagues. And so the bill that gives credit access to Cuba to buy our commodities is a bipartisan effort. I hope to get more support on that bill and to be able to move that through committee as step number one, and then be able to bring that to the full House and see if we can make some movement on the Senate and present something to the president. Now, that's my goal. The reality is that it is very, very difficult to make things happen legislatively these days. But I'm going to stay focused on that. And as I said, always work in bipartisan fashion. That's the only way we're going to have success.
Representative Bustos, thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you, Todd.
Sherry Bustos represents the 17th District in the great state of Illinois, stretching from Peoria to the Quad Cities. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us. He's on the interstate somewhere between Hull, Illinois, and Jacksonville. And if you're familiar with Western Illinois, you know he's coming up on the Illinois River. Actually, have you crossed over the Illinois River yet? I'm guessing against that.
Still west of the Illinois, Todd, but the way Mary Jane's driving this Prius, I don't know, we might be there in 5 minutes.
Well, if you do, check out to see whether the Bald Eagle's there. I know that you are probably very familiar with that route, and it's really a gorgeous drive across there. Some great, beautiful scenery. So thank you for joining us from the road, because I know you're on your way here to be with us tomorrow at the Farmland Forum in Chicago. We'll be up on stage at 11:15. People can check out all the details at chicagofarmers.org. It is a pay-for event, so you'll want to go and check out all those details. Let's start this afternoon, Mike, with Cattle on Feed Report. What did it show when it was released at 2 o'clock Central Time?
Placements 110 compared to 108 on the terms of the average estimate on feed for March 1, 101 versus 100.5 estimated. Marketing's 105 versus 104.7 average. I think overall we went into the end of the week with a weaker technical look, Todd, and kind of a sell signal on the weekly charts. I don't think the report helped the feeder cattle at all, with the placements being a couple points higher than the average trade guess, but maybe the fats are going to get a little bit of support off the marketing's being a little bit bigger. So maybe we'll go back down towards that 160 level. That's the nearby support in April feeders, 159.50 to 160. Probably a good number to be watching. If we would break that, then we could open up the downside a bit.
Turn your attention to the grains and oil seeds, soybeans for the week. Finished at $8, or rather at $8 what? And 892.5, right? Oh, I'm sorry, 897.5, much higher than I was thinking. That's another up week in that marketplace, the third one in a row. However, they didn't close above $9 and they traded above there. What do you think about the marketplace?
Well, I think given that the overall commodity complex did much better than the grains and even the oil seeds, two things appeared to me in the beans. Number one, beans wanted to go higher and break the 200-month moving average of 905, in my opinion. They just have to have the grains underneath them now to help them at this point. They didn't have that. Number two, I think that 905 level needs to be penetrated, because we have this market right now set up where we've got a weakening dollar, strengthening crude, and a softening Brazilian real. That's really nice to have as we get into the harvest and really get into a lot more production that's going to be hitting the ports in South America. Beans continue to be more of a suspect in terms of the fundamentals weakening underneath them with this newly harvested crop in South America. So I'm really eager to keep the technicals, keep the momentum on our side, and that means get above that 905 level, preferably before the acreage and stocks report.
Are you of a mind that old crop soybeans, if they're still on hand, ought to be sold on this rally?
Well, Well, when we did have the little up here on Thursday and earlier this morning, I was in contact with some of the cash marketing people that had already locked in basis contracts earlier in the year, and yes, moved some of the old crop beans. Still waiting on the new crop, though, to see if we can't penetrate 915. If we can get 915 penetrated in November, that should open the door to 925 to 935, something that Kurt and I talked about on Commodity Week when we taped that yesterday.
Yeah, so on Commodity Week, this is an interesting one because you were talking a lot about Brazil, the real, some things that could be very bearish. But and before we get to that one, it won't air this afternoon. In fact, a Commodity Week will. But if people go online and listen to it, they'll hear the whole of the thing, and they'll hear the back end. So just to clarify what your discussion really there meant, what were you hoping to accomplish and get across as a point?
Well, I think first that the beans probably do have the weakest fundamentals and technicals right now if we don't penetrate the 905 and lead month and give the pennant that triangle formation a chance to work and give us a buy signal. I think that the Federal Reserve pausing this week and talking specifically about the weakening global economy and cutting in half their interest rate hikes in 2016 was not what I wanted to see fundamentally. We talked about that. In fact, Scott Williamson from AgriGold asked a question about the Federal Reserve at the Beef House meeting. And you know, slow and steady increases is what I'd really like to see because that tells me that China's healing, and it tells me that the Federal Reserve thinks that inflation's coming back in our own economy. When they pause like they did this week and cut the number of interest rate hikes down to 2 for 2016, it gave me a nervous reaction that we really need to be running on all 8s when it comes to the emerging markets. So if China is trying to heal up and U.S. is trying to heal up and Europe and Japan are trying to heal up, we don't want Brazil to have a calamity. In other words, if their government would go under because of this corruption scandal and this impeachment process they're now under, we don't want the Brazilian real to go sharply lower and hurt our export potential, especially when we're getting into that season where they take more business away from us. So that's all I was trying to present.
On the weekly charts, corn finished weak for the week, though they were higher on the week. It was not at the top end of the range, of course. For the weekly trade, they were on the bottom end of the range. What'd you think of its marketplace?
I felt like it really wanted to go higher today, especially in the overnight session when we made new weekly highs in soybeans. It looked like the corn was primed to go higher if the wheat could pull itself together. But the wheat instead took out its Thursday's low and made new two-month lows with the hard red wheat once again leading. Now, one bright spot about the soft red wheat is we did hold a downtrending support line that was a weekly resistance line of a few weeks back. And the second thing I would say is places like Concordia, Kansas, and Garden City, Kansas, who got really no precip and aren't looking for any precip here for the next 5 days, are going to be 27 degrees Sunday on the GFS model, and then they're going to be up to 84 degrees by Thursday. So I don't think the weather market is over with. I think the trade just wants to see a hard freeze before they really price it in, just because our demand is so peaked and so weak right now in the wheat complex.
Mike, thanks so much.
You bet, Todd. Have a great weekend and see you tomorrow.
I will see you tomorrow. Mike Zuzulow is a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas, and he will join myself along with Matt Bennett and Gary Schnitke and Sherm Newland at the Chicago Farmers Farmland Forum in Joliet. We kind of hope to see you there as well. Back in a couple of minutes to talk about the weather forecast.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
This is the March 17 edition of Commodity Week.
It's National Oatmeal Cookie Day. Oats was one of the earliest cereals cultivated by humankind. They were known in ancient China as long ago as 7,000 BC, and in Europe around 3,000 years ago. By the way, oatmeal cookies are the number one non-cereal use for oatmeal, followed by meatloaf and cakes and pies. On this day in agricultural history in 1834, the first U.S. railroad tunnel was completed between Hollidaysburg and Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Driven through slate, The Staple Bend Tunnel was 901 feet long, 25 feet wide, and 21 feet high, and lined throughout with masonry 18 inches thick. In 1853, Rudolf Diesel was born. He invented the internal combustion engine. Diesel threw himself over the rail of an English Channel steamer in 1913 after losing control of his invention and receiving criticism in German engineering journals. In 1863, women rioted in Salisbury, North Carolina, to protest the lack of flour and salt in the Confederacy. And in 1920, Wesley Buscelli was born, an agricultural engineer. His 25 patents includes the farm forage handling machine that has produced the familiar large round hay bales in U.S. fields since the 1960s. He also developed rollover protective devices for tractors. And while a professor at Iowa State University, he originated the first course in the U.S. on agricultural safety. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Eric Snodgrass is here. He's with Agrible from right here in Champaign County. Find them at agrible.com. Eric, thanks so much for being with us. You know, you and I have talked a lot about the yo-yo theme that we've had this year. So kind of cold and then warm and then back to cold again, which we still have. And I think that causes severe weather. You can help me out with that and maybe recap what happened earlier in this week, too, across not only Illinois, but a good part of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, if someone asked me to tell them what I thought of the winter 2015-16, I think the yo-yo is the perfect description. And here's what happened last week. Tuesday nailed us. We had a nasty outbreak of severe weather across the northern half of Illinois. 87 reports of different severe weather events, including 8 confirmed tornadoes, some pretty powerful ones. As these storms kind of moved through, there were actually over 33,000 lightning strikes that were recorded. Interestingly enough, though, Champaign, we got missed by all of it. So it was all to our north or to our south or to our east. So we had this little wedge in there where we just missed all of it. But as you said, other parts of the U.S. have been getting hammered. And we talked about the incredibly heavy rain that hit the southern Mississippi River Valley and the Delta, where they were 20 inches of rain, just an incredible amount of precipitation. Well, they got hammered again last night, 168 reports of severe weather, including a lot of hail. They got a lot more precipitation. So this is a recurring problem for the South. And yeah, right now across the United States, well, mainly focused in the southern states. So let's say Texas to Florida, we're already 1,000 reports of severe weather ahead of where we were last year. So this year's starting off very active. And that is very typical of El Nino, having a lot of severe weather in the South. So yeah, getting into this next week where the yo-yo kind of moves again, we've had some nasty weather down there.
Now tell me about this week then. What do you expect?
Yeah, so here it is. Right now, moving across Kansas, moving across Missouri, there's quite a bit of precip. In Kansas, it's cold enough to be snow. In Missouri, it's mostly rain. This is going to slide through southern Illinois later today and into tomorrow morning. And as our nighttime temperatures cool off, I'm not going to rule out the chance that we couldn't see some snow out of this. Now, not much, not a big accumulating snow, but just some wet, pesky snow. And if you don't get that in southern parts of Illinois, you're going to get this really cold, nasty rain. So this is unpleasant. And that kind of continues into Saturday. We got another shot at seeing some cold rain again. And really, Friday through Sunday, we have a cool weekend coming up. Now, here goes the yo-yo. Starting on like Monday night into Tuesday, a big low pressure system starts off to our west. And when they're to our west, we usually experience strong southerly winds. Strong southerly winds bring warmth from the south. And we're going to get that on Tuesday into Wednesday. Unfortunately, even though it's going to warm right back up, you know, we're not going to be seeing like pleasant warm where the winds are calm and the skies are clear. This is going to be a windy situation for us. Then what's got me really concerned is that when we look toward Thursday night into Friday, this system's going to really get cranking across the central states. And it's going to be bringing a lot of rain, and this time to the entire Mississippi River Valley. And what really got me concerned is that if this system takes a more southerly track, it could put actually a big chunk of Illinois into a snowband. And my goodness, now it's hard to get lots and lots of snow in March just because you got to outdo the March sun. But these big weather systems, they can do it. So like I said, we got cool this weekend, warm up midweek, and then we have a big front that passes, you know, at the end of next week, During our spring break here at the University of Illinois, potentially bringing a lot more rain and even some snow.
That, of course, Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agrible right here in Urbana-Champaign and helps me wrap up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Commodity Week is next on many of these radio stations.